that we can come and continue to walk in your presence, Almighty God. Through the Messianic moment, through the reading of the Torah, the instruction that we've received, the time of prayer, the time of worship, and exalting your holy name, Almighty God. Now, as we turn to the reading and the preaching of your word, may your anointing continue to flow in your presence. May the Ruach, the Spirit of living God, who dwells with each believer that is here presently and those that later will be hearing on the podcast, may the Spirit of living God stir up within us God's word and his truth. And may we simply hear, listen, and obey the Lord's word. And to confirm his word by reading it through the copies of whatever translation the Lord has ordained for us to read, that we would go forth and build your kingdom, the kingdom of the Father, which has been established through the Son and is reestablished by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God. May you equip all the saints, all those who are called out, Father, from the Jewish nation and from every nation upon this earth. You've brought us all together to become the community, Messianic community of faith, Messiah's body. May your name be exalted forevermore. In Yeshua's name, amen. I have a question before we even start today's message. Israel, as a nation, was to be a light to the nations. They received the Torah, and for thousands of years, they have been called out to be priests unto the nations. They had the temple once, twice, in the near future, a third time. But what is missing? Yeshua is missing. How can a people who have a blinder over their eyes, how can they see the one who proclaimed himself as the light of the world? If only that veil has been removed from their eyes, can they see him? I am one, and there are others in this assembly who have had that veil removed from their eyes so they could see the Messiah for who he is. In the recent past, there was a very revered rabbi. His name is Rabbi Katuri. And as he was preparing to go in the presence of Adonai, he spoke to his son and he spoke to all his students and said, that I believe I have now discovered the name of the Mashiach, the Messiah. I will write down his name, but I believe that my days are ending. And with this, after my passing, wait a full year, and then you are to reveal the name to the world who I believe is the Mashiach, the Messiah. Upon his death, it was an encrypted message. After a year, it was read and it was posted on the most revered website that he had to all Orthodox Jewish people around the world. And the name was encrypted, but as you took the first letter of the phrase that he used, it spelled out the name Yehoshua or Yeshua. Here was a man who lived during the time of the First, Second War, lived prior to the nation of Israel being established. He remained a faithful Orthodox Jewish rabbi, but he wanted to remain within his own community and people. He did not want anyone to say, just like Rabbi Lichtenstein, he did not want to join a Christian church. He wanted this to be undeniable, that he was able to live out his life as an Orthodox Jew and still embrace and believe in his Messiah. And you may be saying, Rabbi Frank, why are you talking about all this? Because it goes coincide what we're going to be, I'll be preaching today. The birth of the ecclesia in the book of Acts started in Acts chapter 10. The very first house congregation began in Acts chapter 10 that included people representing the nations, the Gentiles. If you think back to the 3.5 years that Yeshua spent with his disciples, his Talmudim, their eyes were veiled to the full truth. 11 of them got it. 11 of them were with the 120 because Judas went out and committed suicide. But it was a process of the veil being removed and for them to gain their full sight of understanding God's plan. That's why in Acts chapter 10, it talks about that great sheet being lowered down 3 times and Cephas saying, no, I cannot participate in this. But knowing this, that the Spirit of the living God that was speaking to him did not even allow him to go out and kill and eat those animals that were unclean. So he never severed his tie. But what God was speaking to him wasn't about animals, but it was about people, not seeing people as equals. So I say this to you, there will be a great revival coming to this world. A revival that has never been seen upon this earth ever before. But that revival will come when the ecclesia, the body of a Messiah, is taken out, caught up, and removed. And you may be saying, Rabbi, how can you even say that? In the book of Revelation, it speaks of this, that there will be, the Lord shall gather unto himself the 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000 men, from the 12 tribes of Israel, and he shall seal them. And they will go forth, and they will proclaim Yeshua as the Messiah. Remember this, the Tanakh says that the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, is to be a what? A light to the Gentiles. When will this happen? When Messiah comes back, when Israel calls for him to come back, when all the nations of the earth turn against Israel, including the United States, all the governments of Europe, all countries will turn against Israel. And they will call out to him like Yeshua said, you will not see me again until I hear these words, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they will behold him as a son, a martyred son. And there will be pain in their heart because we're the one who has afflicted you. And then there shall be reconciliation. What Joel has said and all the prophets have said is going to come about. But for us right now, what's happening to the ecclesia, the called out ones? A majority of them are falling into an apostasy. They're following after angels and revelation. They're not following after God's word. That's why we must be people of God's word and God's word only. Everything I ever share with you, bring it before the Word of God to see if it's true. Lest I lead you into error. Amen. Let us now turn to the book of Acts, chapter 11. The continuation of the building and the creating of the ecclesia, the called out ones. Both Jews and Gentiles, one in Messiah. This is so new and so fresh. It's amazing that the Ruach HaKodesh extended this into chapter 11. Let us begin 11 verse 1. The title of this message is Acts of Yeshua's Emissaries, the Shlakim, the Apostles. The emissaries and the brothers throughout Yehuda, Judah, heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. This is amazing. This is unheard of. This is a brand new beginning. There has been some remnants recorded in the Tanakh of Gentiles coming and being grafted in as either God-fearers or proselytes into the Jewish nation and community. And here, through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, ordained and planned before the foundations of the universe were even put into place, amen, this was God's plan. Amen. To call aside a people, the Jewish people, to be a light to the nations. God loves Jewish people. God loves all the people of the nations. If we go back to the Tower of Babel, when all the people of the earth were of one language, and they were exalting themselves and building that tower, God spoke to himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Ruach, and they said, let's see what they're doing. They examined it, and he came upon them, and what did he bring? Multiple languages. People stopped working. They turned around in mass confusion. They found people that could speak the language that they were just had received, and they left, and the nations were birthed. Culture and nations is ordained of God. He ordained it. And so now with this, God is now imposing upon his select chosen nation to now allow people from other nations, other cultures, other backgrounds to now become part of the Messianic community. Well, there's going to be a lot of friction going on. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. So there's all kinds of friction going on. This continues to go on. There's the Judaizers within the Messianic spirit-filled community that have their opinion. The veil has not completely been removed from their eyes. Maybe one eye is uncovered, but the other one is still covered. Let's continue. The emissaries and brothers throughout Yehuda heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Kepha went up to Jerusalem, the members of the circumcision faction criticized him. They're not mincing words. They're giving their undivided opinion, what they believe how things should be. Why? Because it's been that way for over 1,000 years. Anyone who would want to become part of the Jewish community, if you're a male, you had to go through the Brit Milah, circumcision. That was not a given. And you know what's amazing? When you read in the Tanakh, as Moshe is leading the children of Israel from Egypt, at one time, Adonai is going to put him to death. Why? Because he did not circumcise his own sons. Is this important to God? Absolutely. Let's move forward now. In verse 3, I'll go back to 2. But when Kepha went up to Jerusalem, the members of the circumcision faction criticized him, saying, you went into the homes of uncircumcised men and even ate with them. This is a rebuke. They're not trying to be politically correct, are they? Let's move forward. In reply, Kepha began explaining in detail what had actually happened. Why? Because this group wasn't there. They hear about the Gentiles receiving the word of God. They've heard about the rock coming upon them, but they were not witnesses to it. Let's move forward. I was, this is Kepha speaking, in the city of Yafo praying, and in a trance I had a vision. I saw something like a sheet being lowered by its four corners from heaven. And it came down to me. I looked inside and saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, crawling creatures, and wild birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Kepha, Peter, slaughter and eat." I said, "No, sir, absolutely not. Nothing unclean or treif has ever entered my mouth." But the voice spoke again from heaven. "Stop treating as unclean what God has made clean." This happened three times, and then everything was pulled back up into heaven. Why didn't the Spirit of Living God allow that to be on earth? Because then that would become an idol. It's amazing how we idolize things. Let's move forward. Verse 11, at that very moment, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where I was staying. So think about this. Did not the Spirit of Living God give him an order to rise up, kill, and eat? Then why did not the Spirit of Living God allow him to go out, find those animals, kill them, and eat them, if that was the Spirit's plan for him to leave his kosher eating lifestyle, if that was not ordained? Let's move forward. And the Spirit told me to have no misgivings about going back with them. Who are the them? Gentiles, who in Kepha's mind was unclean. He was not to have fellowship with them. Think about Yeshua, and he's talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. It irked Kepha and the 11 that he was even talking to with her. We have no dealings with Samaritans. Let's move forward. The Spirit told me to have no misgivings about going back with them. These six brothers also came with me, and we went to the man's house. Think about those other six brothers who were identified as being in chapter 11, the faction of the circumcision. All of a sudden, their eyes get big and they kind of step back. Yeah, we were there with him. Okay? Because the community is rising up against Kepha. Now, Kepha is asking them to stand with him, and maybe they don't want to stand right next to him. This is reality. Let's move forward. Verse 13, he told us how he had seen an angel. Now, who's speaking here? Kepha, he's relating what Cornelius had said. He had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Yafo and bring back Shimon known as Kepha. He has a message for you that will enable you and your whole household to be what? To be saved." What was the purpose of Kepha going into Cornelius' house, who was a God-fearer, a man who helped build a synagogue, a man who helped the Jewish poor of his community? Think about his boss, Pilate. This guy has left polytheism, Cornelius, and he believes that there is one God, the God of the Jews. His life and his employment's in jeopardy because his crazy boss, the CEO of the whole Roman corporation, Caesar, believes himself as a god. Would this not be acts of being a traitor? Could he not lose not only his position, but his life, his family, and everything else? Because he's embracing the religion of the people that he's there to keep in order. Let's move forward. But I at verse 15. But I have hardly begun speaking when the Ruach HaKodesh had fell upon them, just as it did with us in the beginning. Now, for us to fully understand what's going on here, turn with me to the book of Acts. You may be saying, Rabbi, why are we going to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 4? Because those men who are part of the Judaizers that are there that were not in Acts chapter 10, remember, and most likely were part of the 120 that were in that upper room. So let us examine scripture upon scripture. And this is what we need to do and practice. Chapter 2, verse 1. The feast of Shavuot, or Pentecost, had arrived. And the believers all gathered together in one place. These are Jewish believers in the Messiah. Suddenly, there came a sound from the sky like a roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separating came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Who enables you to speak these tongues? The Spirit of the living God. It's not you. You can't flip a switch on your body to do this. This is by the power of the Spirit of the living God and nothing else. Because who receives the glory but God the Father, God the Son, through the empowering and the equipping of the Spirit of the living God. Let's move forward. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem religious Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered, and they were confused because each one of him heard the believers speaking in his own language, the language of the area where that person, that country, that person came from. Totally amazed, they asked, how is this possible? Aren't all these people who are speaking from Galilee? How do they know that? Because the Galileans had a heavy accent that was different. If you go to England and you go to different counties, they sound different. Let's move forward. How is it that we hear them speaking in our native languages? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Yehuda, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews by birth and proselytes, Jews from Crete and from Arabia. How is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done? And I want to give you a little background. The people from Galilee weren't very wealthy. A lot of them weren't highly educated outside of Torah. That's a reality. That was the backwaters of the nation. So they're totally blown out of their minds. Let's move forward. Amazed and confused, they all went on asking each other, "What can this mean?" But others made fun of them and said, "They have just too much wine." Then Caiaphas stood up. Notice this. Who is the Ruach using in Acts chapter 10 and now 11 and also in Acts chapter 2? The same person, Caiaphas. Peter. He stood up with the 11 and raised his voice to address them. At this time, Judas has died. Matthias or Matthias has been, they drew lots, and he's been added to make it 12. "You Judeans and all you staying here in Jerusalem, let me tell you what this means. Listen carefully to me. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, it is what is spoken about through the prophet Joel." 9 in the morning. What goes on at 9 in the morning but the Micha prayers, the morning prayers? What was happening when Cornelius was praying in his house? An angel appeared to him. What was he doing? He was, as a God-fearer, he was participating in the Micha prayers in his own home, his congregation. Let's go forward. "These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken about through the prophet Joel. Adonai says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon everyone." What does everyone mean? Not just the Jewish nation? Everyone, all inclusive, all right? "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And they will what? They will prophesy. Now, sometimes we think, well, prophecy is just a brand new revelation. You know what also prophecy is? Speaking the word of God, which is recorded in the Tanakh, the Haftorah, and the Brit Hadashah. In other words, the Old Testament, the prophets, the writings, and the New Testament. That's also prophetic utterances. Preaching and teaching is also tied into prophecy. Because when you're speaking from this book, you're speaking on the foundation that the prophets and the apostles have already proclaimed. Let's move forward. Where are you, Rabbi Frank? Here I am. "I will perform miracles in the sky above and the signs of the earth below. Blood and fire and thick smoke. The sun will become dark, the moon blood, before the great and fearful day of Adonai comes. And then whoever calls upon the name of Adonai will be saved." So let's talk about the end times, the last days. Let's talk about tribulation. Who's going to be here since the ecclesia of both Jews and Gentiles, one in Messiah, the church of the body of Messiah, is removed? Who's going to be left? But the Jewish nation, the 144,000, that God will seal, and he will give them Ruach HaKodesh, and they will proclaim that Yeshua is the Messiah to the four corners of the earth, and a great revival will come. See, it's all there in Joel. Let's move forward. But there's a dispensation here in Acts. Why? Because it took Caiaphas to have the full veil removed from his eyes so he could see Yeshua's plan by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh for him to reach out to the Gentiles. And it had to come for someone who was Orthodox kosher in every inkling of his life. That's why Adonai chose Caiaphas to do this. Let's move forward. Verse 22, "The men of Israel listened to this. Yeshua from Nazareth was a man demonstrated to you to have been from God by powerful works and miracle signs that God performed through him in your presence." You saw it. You're living witnesses to this. Going forward, "You yourselves know this." See, sometimes I'm redundant. "This man was arrested in accordance with God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge." Notice that. This was all God. It wasn't you. Jewish people are not to be blamed as Christ killers. You're the Romans. This was God's ordained plan. He desired his son to lay down his life. Let's think back. What man went upon a mountain, took his son Isaac, and was about to plunge the knife into his heart so that he could be a burnt offering unto Adonai? But the Lord sent what? The angel of Adonai, who was Yeshua himself, to stay his hand so this would not take place. But this was the plan because God wanted to prove in Abraham, our father of our faith, that he will bless all the nations, that all the nations will be grafted into through Father Abraham, that this would be all be accomplished. Let's move forward now. The foreknowledge and through the agency of persons not bound by Torah. You nailed him on the stake and killed him, but God has raised him up and freed him from suffering of death. It was impossible that death could keep its hold on him, for David says about him, I saw Adonai before me, for he is at my right hand, so I'll not be shaken. For this reason my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, and now my body too will live in a certain hope that you will not abandon me to Sheol, or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Where is that? Psalm 16, 8 through 11. Going on, brothers, I know that you can frankly, that you can say frankly that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is with us this day. In the city outside Old Jerusalem, there's King David's tomb. Therefore, since he was a prophet and knew God and had sworn an oath to him, and his descendants, one of his descendants would sit on his throne. So what is being declared here? The King David, Yeshua's great, 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 keep going greats, grandfather was also not only king but a prophet. He was speaking in advance about the resurrection of the Messiah, that it was he who was not abandoned in Sheol, the Messiah, and whose flesh did not see decay. God raised up this Yeshua, and we are all witnesses of it. Moreover, he has been exalted to the right hand of God. What did Brother Tim share today but Psalm 110? Let's move forward. And has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and has poured out this gift, which you are both seeing and hearing. It's the gift of the Ruach. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says, Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for me. Brother Tim shared this with us earlier. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know beyond a doubt that God has made him both Lord and Messiah. This Yeshua whom you executed on a stake, on hearing this, they were stung in their hearts. Why? Because the veil has been removed from their eyes. And they said to Caiaphas and the other emissaries, brothers, what should we do? Caiaphas answered, turn from sin, return to God, and each one of you be immersed, baptized, mikvah, on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into the forgiveness of your sins. A new mikvah in Yeshua brought salvation. See? Continuing, what did Caiaphas say immediately after he saw the Spirit of the living God being poured out upon Cornelius and his family? He said, what is hindering them now to be immersed into the waters of Yeshua? Continuing here. Yeshua the Messiah. Immerse in the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is for you, your children, for those far away. Who are those far away? The nations. Continuing, as many as Adonai our God may call. Who's calling the nations? God the Father. Who's calling the Jewish people who have veils over their eyes? God the Father. He presses his case with many other arguments and kept pleading with them, "Save yourselves from this perverse generation." So those who accepted what he said were immersed, and there were added to the group that day about 3,000 people. They continued faithfully in the teaching of the emissaries and in fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. And everyone was filled with awe of the many miracles and signs that took place through the emissaries. Now we're going to marry this to Acts chapter 11. Because you know what was playing in their minds? Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 42. Of these, the faction of the circumcision. Let's move forward. Verse 16. And I remember, this is Cephas speaking, that the Lord Yeshua had said, "Yohanan used to immerse people in water, but I will immerse you in the Ruach HaKodesh." Therefore, if God gave them the same gift he gave us after we came to put our trust in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who was I to stand in his way? And this is a rhetorical argument to those of the circumcision faction. So who are you to stand in the way now? Listen now. On hearing these things, they stopped objecting, who? The faction of the circumcision, and began to what? Praise God, saying, "This means that God has enabled the Gentiles as well to do teshuvah and now have life." As we have life. Does it end here in chapter 11? No. It continues. Rav Shaul has to deal with this in his epistles. We're stopping the message here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for removing the veil from the Jewish people's eyes. We look forward, and it's been a remnant through the centuries. These 11 were the first to have the veil removed from their eyes. Otherwise, the ecclesia would not be whole and complete. Think of this had to take place today. And all of a sudden, Elder Allen was not here with us, but was there visiting some of his family members. And all of a sudden, there came what looked like a sheet, descended where Allen in his room. And Allen then would be the one to go out and proclaim this, to go into the Gentiles' home, and for it to begin today. Think of the souls that would have been lost from the time of Kepha until today with Alan. God has his perfect timing. He has ordaining of all things. And I thank God, God has removed the veil increment by increment from the people from the nations so they can be grafted in into the Messianic community of both Jews and Gentiles, one in Messiah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has a great plan, and we are to go forth and fulfill that plan. Praying for the Jewish people who do not know Messiah that currently have a veil over their eyes, and also the Gentiles that have a veil over their eyes. And we're to love them and allow them to live within their culture and allow them to enter into the kingdom as such as we. And we're not to refrain them from walking in their culture that God has established as them being part of that nation. And they should not infringe upon Jewish, Messianic Jews today for them to leave their culture and community so that we can come together and rejoice in the Lord who unifies all of us. Because there's beauty in all nations, in all cultures. Because it has all been ordained by Adonai. Shabbat shalom, and thank you.